Good morning.
Good morning.
We'll start in about 1 minute. You're the first to arrive. I'll just give people a chance.
Hello.
Has joined.
Good morning.
Morning.
Please join me with saying the Anabakoa. Anabakoa, Gedula Chemincha, Tati. Alephet Gimel, Yitzhadi. Kabel Rinat Amcha Tagbeinu.
Mayanello.
Taharenu.
Has joined.
Ora. Kufre Shayan, Sintet Nun. Nagibor Dorshe Yehudcha Keva. Sham Reim Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kaf Shin Archem Tacharem Rachamei Sidkatcha Tamid Gam Reim Betet Reish Tzadi Tach Gimel Hasim Kadosh Berov Tuvcha Na'el Adata Chet Kufet Tet Nunayan Yachid Geer Lamcha Penei Zokre Kedushata Yud Gimelamed Hei Zayin Kuf Shavatenu kabel, ushma tziyakatenu, yodeya talumo, shin kufav, tzariyuta. In the eighth verse of the Anabakoach, we say in a whisper. Today is Friday, as we all know, and on Friday we're reading the sixth Aliyah. In the case of Chaye Sarah, the sixth Aliyah is Genesis chapter 25, verses 1 to 11. 11 verses. This connects to the Ketoret, the 11 components of the Ketoret, which draws us closer to Hashem. Another way of understanding the number 11, it's one more than 10, which means that there are 10 sephirot plus the negative system. Are there 10 sephirot of the negative system? The answer is yes. So why don't we count it the other way? There's 10 sephirot of the negative system plus this system of Kedusha, which would indicate that things are unified in the system of Kedusha and separated in the system of the negative system. But in reality, the system of Kedusha is never separated, and the 10 sephirot of holiness are never separated. It's only man who looks up and has named them separately. They're part of the process of creation. They're part of the process of restoration of creation. The plan of creation, which is what the work of mankind is since the sin of Adam and Eve. Another aspect that I think is important for people to know: in many synagogues, there are different techniques of how aliyot are assigned to the people to represent the community. In some synagogues, they will auction off the various aliyot. And so someone could buy a first aliyah but not be a Kohen. Well, he's not going to be called, but he is sharing that energy with the Kohen. That's the way it's explained. But in the Kabbalah Center, Rabbi Berg received the sixth aliyah always. There was no auctioning. The aliyot were assigned by the head female, the head woman of that community. The Kabbalah centers have centers all over the world in various cities. And they had a chevra couple who had responsibility for overseeing that development of that center. Whenever Rabbi Berg was in town, he would receive the sixth aliyah. And whenever he was not in that town, in that center, the male member of the chevra, of the couple that started that community or was responsible for that community, he would have the sixth aliyah representing Rabbi Berg. Why did they take the sixth aliyah? And I asked that question, and the answer, the simple answer was, the sixth aliyah is the yesod. The yesod is the foundation. The yesod is creation, creativity, sexuality. But as the foundation, it is the most important aliyah of the day. We will start with the L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud Kudsha Brichu Ishkinte Birchilu Urchimu Udchilu Udchilu Urchimu Le'achta L'shem Yotei Bavate Le'yichuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Le'imud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah Vayhino Am Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Ma'asei Yadeinu Koronei Aleinu Ma'asei Yadeinu Koroneihu. What I did not mention when I spoke about the auctioning of the aliyot, this was a way for the synagogue to financially support its operations. Many times, it would help to lower the dues for membership. It's also a way for those people who are not members of the synagogue, but attend the minyan frequently to participate and help support the community. The first verse. Vayosef Abraham Vayikach Isha Ushma Keturah. It sounds like this is the name Yosef Abraham. But we'll find that Yosef, it lacks the Vav. The Vav is part of the connecting to the previous verse, the previous Aliyah, because it's the first letter. And we'll find that Yosef has a different meaning. But also the language is Abraham Vayikach, which is, and Abraham took Isha, a woman. And the name of the woman is Keturah. Keturah is similar to Ketoret, which is perhaps one of the reasons that there's only 11 verses in this Aliyah, connecting us to the Ketoret, which is similarly spelled, just with different vowels. The Midrash explains that Keturah was Hagar, who had done teshuvah, which brought her closer to Hashem. If you ever have analyzed the name Hagar, it means the foreigner, the stranger. It's spelled Hay Gimel Resh, which is Ger, is a convert, a stranger, a foreigner. Different translations in different places in the Torah. The second verse. Wateled lo et Zimran v'et Yakshan v'et Medan v'et Midyan v'et Yishbak v'et Shua v'yakshan yalad et Shiva v'et Dan u'bnei Dedan hayu Ashurim u'tushim u'lumim. Uvne Midyan Efa Va'efer Va'chancha Va'chanoch Va'avida Ve'elda Kolele Bnei Keturah. Vayiten Abraham et kol asher lo liyitzak. This is a very famous verse. It says, and Abraham gave everything which he had to Yitzhak. The next verse 6. Belivne hapilagshim asher li Abraham natan Abraham matanot vayshalchem me'al Yitzhak beno. It'll be better when we read the English directly. But essentially, the Zohar tells us this verse is saying, or is asking the question, because this verse says, Abraham gave to his children from Keturah and sent them to the east. And the Zohar explains, or asks the question, how can Yitzhak give everything or receive everything from Abraham? And what did Abraham have left to give to the children that he sent to the east? And it wouldn't be like Abraham to not give to his children. So did he give to his children before? And since there's no direct order in the Torah? But the Zohar says no. The reason it's said this way is because the word for giving, Natan or Nathan, Yitan, is spelled with the Vav preceding it. And it comes to Yitzhak, it's indicating that he gave him the three-column system represented by the Tree of Life. The three columns of the right that's sharing, the left that's receiving, and the center that is the balance point. But the children of the East received a spiritual system that is a two-column system. And we hear that coming out of the Eastern religions, the Eastern philosophies of yin and yang and so forth. They don't really have an explanation or a connection to the center column. Verse 7. Asher chai me'at shana u'shivim shana v'chamesh shanim. This verse, again, we'll read it in the English, but it's written very strangely. It's saying, in the English, it's usually translated as Abraham lived 175 years and then he died. But it's not written 175. It's written the same way Sarah's life is described. Sarah says she lived 100 year, 20 year, and 7 years. And this is true with Abraham. It says here that he lived 100 year, 70 year, and 5 years. Verse 8. Vaigwa vayamat Avraham b'seva tova zaken v'saveya vayeyasef el amav vayikveru oto Yitzhak v'yishmael banav El me'arat ha-machpela, el sede Ephron, en zohar ha-chiti, asher al p'nei mamre. This verse says that Isaac and Ishmael buried Abraham in the cave of Machpelah. And then it gives us where the location of the cave of Machpelah is, that he bought from Ephron, who was the son of Zohar, the Tzadi, not a Zion. And it brings up before Mamre. And we know elsewhere in the Zohar, Mamre is connected to the world that is coming, Olam Haba, which is Bina. It's a coded verse, but we learn many things from this verse. One, Yitzhak is mentioned first, but Ishmael is the elder child. And it's an indication, the fact that Ishmael did not create a disturbance saying he was entitled to the double portion. He accepted Isaac. That was part of his tikkun, part of his teshuvah, is to recognize Isaac as being the firstborn, although the Torah does not say it that way. Asade Asher Kana Avraham Me'et Benechet Shama Kubar Avraham Vesara Ishto. Verse 11. Vayhi Achare Mot Avraham Vayavare Elohim Et Yitzhak Beno Vayeshev Yitzhak Im Be'er. Now for the English translation. Verse 1, and Abraham took another wife, and her name was Keturah. And we've discussed that. And she bore him Zimran, and Jokshan, and Medan, and Midian, and Ishbak, and Shua. And there are six names, six children, six male children. We don't know how many female children. And we don't know if Bacall is a child of Sarah or Keturah. But the question is, why six? Which makes a total of eight children between the two women. The number eight connects to Bina, which is Olam Haba, the coming world. And this is why Isaac is the firstborn, connects to the soul, is a metaphorically the soul after the tikkun is completed, which is when the world that is coming manifests. And it gives you a whole understanding of each of these have a different connection to the Sefirot. But are they connecting to the positive or to the negative? And it's a very unclear as why did he send them to the east? What was the purpose of going to the east? And the east is the energy of Tiferet. So we would think that these are children that are connected to the positive system. And it continues with verse 3. And Jokshan begot Sheba and Dedan. And the sons of Dedan were Ashurim, the Tushim, and Lumim. And the sons of Midian were Ephah, and Epher, and Hanoch, and Abida, and Eldaah. All these were the sons of Keturah. Now, he had six sons with Keturah, but only two are indicating they have children. And their children, as grandchildren, are saying they're sons of Keturah. Leaves many questions unanswered. The fifth verse. And Abraham gave all that he possessed to Isaac. We discussed it briefly. Now the sixth verse. And to the sons of Abraham's concubines, plural, meaning did he have more than Keturah? Abraham gave gifts, and he sent them away from his son Isaac, while he, Abraham, was still alive, eastward to the land of the east. Now, why do we need to have it eastward to the land of the east? What are we learning from that? I'm asking questions that I don't know the answers to. But ultimately, we will read it in the Zohar, or we will read it elsewhere. And we will come to understand these the answers that we need to receive. The seventh verse. And these are the days of the years of Abraham's life that he lived. 100 year, 70 year, and 5 years. We mentioned it earlier, but here you see it. The English is actually translating it as 100 years, 70 years, and 5 years. But that's not what the Hebrew says. 100 is singular year, 70 is singular year, and 5 is multiple, is plural. Verse 8. And Abraham expired and died in a good old age, old and satisfied, and he was gathered to his people. Why do you need to have the word old twice? A good old age, and old and satisfied. Satisfied means he was satisfied with the completion of his work, of his spiritual work. But why does it need to say old twice? And he was gathered to his people. Who are his people? Is his people his descendants or his forefathers? If it's his forefathers, he's not buried with his forefathers. He's buried with Adam and Chava. So are these his people? How do we understand this language that is very typical of the way the Bible speaks? The ninth verse. And Isaac and Ishmael, his sons, buried him in the cave of Machpelah, in the field of Ephron, the son of Zohar the Hittite, which faces Mamre. And we've discussed Mamre as the world that is coming. But why did we need to know that it was in the field of Ephron? And that Ephron was the son of Zohar, the Hittite. And as I said, it's not spelled Zion, Hayresh. It's spelled Sadi. The field that Abraham had bought from the sons of Heth, where Abraham and his wife Sarah were buried. Now it came to pass after Abraham's death that God blessed his son Isaac, and Isaac dwelt near Be'er Lachai Ro'ai. How would you pronounce? Let me take a look at the Hebrew quickly to be sure. The well of the living Roi could be translated in different ways. It's Resh Aleph Yud. And it could be connected to the concept of sight, the well of the living vision would be one way of translating that word. I was going to, and I still will, we are all familiar with the Moda'ani or the Moda'ani, depending if you're male or female. We were instructed to say this even while staying in bed, but using it as a wake-up appreciation, bringing God into our thoughts right at the start of the day. There are 12 words in Moda'ani. The number 12 we know represents, connects to the 12 tribes, but it also, it essentially connects to the tree of life, representing Hashem's name with four letters each, Yud Hey Vav Hey, on the right, four letters on the left, and his name in the center, which is four letters also. There's also 48 letters in this statement. And the number 48 is Mem Gimel. Excuse me, Mem Chet. And Mem Chet is a shoresh in Aramaic, where And the Aramaic does have two letters, Shoresh, Shem. Mem Chet in Aramaic means brain. If we reverse the order and say it's Chet Mem, it's the word for hot in Hebrew, also in Aramaic. Hot refers to passions. Brain refers to the intellect. We are connecting to the different energies when we're saying the Moda'ani. The number 48, in the first word in the Torah that has the number 48 as its gematria, is Chayech, which is my life, my lives. Excuse me, your lives. It also connects to the word Yovel. Yovel is Jubilee. It also connects to Be'oheli, which is my in my tabernacle. It connects to the word Hagadol, the great or the greatness. These are just a few of the words that the number 48 connects to. And I think this information will enhance your singing of the Moda'ani, which is recommended. Because when you sing it, there's one word that is duplicated so that you're saying 13 words. That's my last. Moda'ani lefanecha melech chai v'kayam. Shehezarta binishmati behem. Translation, I give thanks before you, living and existing King, for restoring my soul to me compassionately. Great is your trustworthiness. And the 13th word that I added, the chemla, is compassionately. Does anyone have any questions?
Hello.
Our next, yes.
Not a question, but a comment. Several years back, when doing this with my class, because it was in our Hebrew text, I came across a version of singing Mode or Modani, to you are my sunshine.
That's an interesting approach.
Yeah.
It is nice. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
I have a question.
Go ahead, Martha.
Do you have an explanation as to why the verse states Abraham lived 100 years, 75 years, and 5 years? Is that like he completed a Sefer Yot, like 10, and then 770 plus 5 is 75, which, you know, he had Isaac when he was 100, right?
Right.
99. So is that a completion of one of his cocoons at that point, because he was married and then had a child? Now, again, it says a son. It doesn't say a female. So I go back and forth with the daughter being Sarah, and she's his soulmate, that the completion was done because he had a son and daughter, male and female. So then, you know, it never states in the scripture that we know of that Sarah had a daughter, but we also know that they did come down as male and female, as, you know, usually they had duplicate births. So do you have an explanation in your learning from your teachers as to what that significant meaning is, 175 in 5 years?
It follows a similar idea, what the Zohar says about Sarah's living 100 year, 20 year, and 7 years. In the Zohar about Sarah, it says that she was the same as 20 when she was 100. So her life was virtuous. And that I forget what the 20 represented from the Zohar, but the 7 years, the plural of the seven, represents the seven lower sephirot,
mm-hmm.
indicating that the relationship between male and female, where the male has the responsibility to transfer through marital intimacy, he transfers the mode, the brains, the upper sephirot to his wife. So I've never read or heard the specifics about it, but I could apply the same idea that Abraham at 100 had Isaac. At 70, 70 year represents he actually left Haran at the age of 75. So it could be related to that, or it could be that the 70 represents the completion of the seven lower sephirot, with Abraham connecting and being the chariot for Chesed, that he completed the seven sephirot below him, the 10 sephirot each. And the five being plural would connect to the five worlds, which is, we normally speak four worlds, but the fifth world is Adam Kadmon, the primordial man. But that's just on my part.
And if you say that, you know, Sarah in the 20 years she's worked, you know, she was 20 when she was 100. And if you break that down by 20s being 100, that could be five worlds as well. And then the other 20, it could be the six, the six that we wrote, you know, and seven.
Well, the seven represents the seven lower sephirot. And we perceive them as different from each other because there's 7 days of the week. But we understand the 7 days of the week are actually all part of one Shabbat. So there's no separation between the days of a week. There's a separation from week to week.
Mm-hmm.
We have a different parasha each week.
And we just learned that, you know, Azadik, or we're giving 400 or 500 worlds. So to me, it's associated with the, you know, supervisor, should you say, the ruler of that world, being, you know, the five worlds.
Hello.
I don't.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were finished.
Sorry. Yes, ma'am, I am.
Go ahead.
Well, Makom Mamre translated it differently. They have 100, 70, and 15 years. And
right.
I thought 70 was 20 times 3, which would have been 60. And 15 would have still come out to be 175. And you may have mentioned it, and I could have missed it. Verse 7.
So, again, it's 600,000 meanings, huh?
Well, it still comes out to be 175, but I've always thought 70 meant 20 times 3. I thought a score was 20.
That's correct. It is.
Yeah. And then that made me wonder, well, why would it be translated differently than having 5 instead of 15? And I don't remember what the other, because I wrote what I was used to.
This
portion one time to a group, so it was more familiar to me than most, I think.
The basic issue is that the way the Torah is writing these numbers, there's significant ways of understanding it, and there's multiple ways of understanding it.
Mm-hmm.
And all of them relate to it, and I'm glad you're thinking along those lines.
Okay, another thing was in the next verse when it said he died in a good old age and then an old man, you know, old being repeated. I took that as a possible meaning too. The old age was when he had Isaac, you know, and then an old man was almost like a second family after Sarah's death and marrying Keturah, you know, so it was like two periods in his life. Now, I've always wondered about the concubines being plural, but I thought that was possibly because most every woman had a nurse or, you know, what would you call them? Like Rebecca left with her nurse and, well, even the four mothers were considered, I guess, concubines. But, so that was kind of what I felt was the reason for the plural.
That's all.
Childbearing was such an important sing in those days. That you could see why the multiple marriages or intimacies beyond just the wife, you know, or the main wife.
We'll be having another class at 11 o'clock West Coast time for the Shir HaShirim and the 7th Aliyah. So if we need to continue this there, we can, but I have to another appointment. So everyone have a beautiful day.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Shalom.
Shalom.